I have another story to tell you today. This one is about a crime in which a murderer is trapped by one of the most powerful forces of nature. Do you want to hear it?
Now starring Paul Frees as your teller of tales. Another story from The Black Book.
Yes. From the world's most fabulous collection of strange and unusual stories, The Black Book, I have selected a story called The Vagabond Murder. Eric Patterson was growing desperate. He'd been there for over 2 hours, waiting with less and less patience for the door in front of him to open. He listened intently for the warning sound of the key in the door. Eric needed to be warned, because when the man he was waiting for entered the room, Eric was going to kill him. As the seconds ticked past in the darkness, Eric thought back to the beginning of all this. It was in New York. He had taken his wife, Karen, along on a business trip. It had been quite successful, and one of the best contacts he'd made was Henry Drucker. Drucker, the richest, most influential man in the whole investment business. And he seemed to like Eric from the start. And with Karen, they made a gay trio the last few days. Rounds of cocktail parties, the theater, endless nightclubs. And then on the last evening of all, Drucker had said,
"Look, Eric, why not join me on the Bermuda trip? The best thing in the world for you and Karen. My yacht sails tomorrow. What do you say?"
At first, Eric thought it was just talk, but he was wrong. And the next day, they sailed for Bermuda on Drucker's yacht, the Vagabond. It wasn't until the return trip that Eric began to suspect that it wasn't him Drucker was really interested in, but Karen. And then the night before they were to dock in New York, it happened. The three of them were sitting at the small bar after dinner when Karen got up, said she wanted some fresh air, and went out on deck. A few minutes later, Drucker excused himself.
"I think I'll go to my cabin, Eric. But I won't be long. Wait here for me, will you?"
"Well, yes, if you like."
"Good. Then we'll have a nightcap together."
And so Eric was left alone. As he sat there, disturbing images began to form in Eric's mind. Pictures of Drucker, handsome, virile, wealthy, and of Karen, young, beautiful, and oh, so impressionable. With a suddenness that overturned the bar stool, Eric was on his feet, and half running, he crossed the room and went down the corridor to Drucker's stateroom. "Drucker! Drucker, open the door! Drucker, do you hear me? Open this door, or I'll break it down!"
"Just a minute, Eric. I'll be right there. Just take it easy."
"I'll take it easy till I count to five, then I'm coming in. One, two...
All right, Eric.
Where's she? Where's my wife?"
"Well, you must be drunk, Eric. Karen isn't in here."
"Was she in here, Drucker? Tell me the truth."
"Don't be a fool, Eric. Of course she wasn't."
"Then why was your door..." I guess I have made a fool of myself. I'm sorry, Drucker."
"Forget it. I'll tell you why I locked the door. You see, Eric, I'm diabetic. I have to give myself an insulin shot about this time every night. Naturally, I don't talk about it, nor do I like anyone barging in while I'm at it."
Eric stood there feeling like a fool while Drucker washed the hypodermic needle and put it away in a box. Eric watched him place the box next to a packet of insulin capsules in the drawer of the night table by his bunk.
"I can understand your jealousy, old man, with a wife as lovely as Karen. But I know women, Eric, and Karen is in love with you. She always will be."
"Look, I'm terribly sorry about this, Drucker."
"Oh, now, let's just forget all about it. Matter of fact, I've been wanting to talk to you about something. I've already told Karen. It should prove how I feel about you, Eric. Here, pour yourself a drink."
"Thanks, I need it."
"You know anything about uranium?"
"Oh, it's expensive."
"Know anything about Peru?"
"What are you driving at?"
"Uranium in Peru, Eric. Big, really big. And the payoff is so big that I was going to put in $750,000 on my own. But I'll let you have $250,000 of it if you want it.
Huh. That's a lot of money.
Mm. So is a return of 23%.
Yeah. But I haven't got that much. I'd have to borrow on everything.
180 days should see the first dividends.
You'll have a certified check within 2 weeks.
Back in New York, Eric and Drucker spent hours poring over graphs, reports, charts, surveys to make certain their investment was sound, and they could find no flaw. But 6 months later, Eric learned that even the most guilt-edged promotion can fail. Uranium in Peru didn't make him a millionaire. It ruined him. It took his entire personal fortune, and because he'd borrowed so heavily, his business and his credit were ruined. Eric suddenly found himself without a single capital asset. In desperation, he went to see Drucker.
So that's the picture, Eric. There isn't a thing I can do.
Yes, of course. I understand your position.
All my cash assets went, too, and everything else of mine is tied up. You can't touch it for years.
Well, we took a chance, and we both lost. Thanks again, Drucker.
Eric, do you have any plans?
Well, I've had an offer from the coast.
Oh.
Small investment house in Oakland.
Well, I'm sure it'll work out fine. Tell me about Karen. How is she taking all this?
Karen? Oh, she's really great, Drucker. Now she decided to go back to modeling in New York for 6 months or so. Just while I'm getting started, you understand?
She's a fine girl, Eric. You're very lucky.
Yes, I know I am. Well, goodbye, and thanks again.
Out in California, Eric thought often of Drucker. After all, it was part of the game. They'd miss this time, but maybe the next. More often, however, he thought about Karen in New York. He'd heard from her regularly at first, and then the letters stopped. For 6 weeks, he heard nothing. He phoned long distance again and again, but nothing was able to find her. And he was beginning to be beside himself with worry and fear. Then one night his phone rang. Yes, hello?
Mr. Patterson?
Yes?
This is Oliver Fay. I do a little gossip column here for the Herald. I hope you read me.
No, I don't.
Well, anyway, perhaps you'd like to make a statement.
Statement? What are you talking about?
Well, it's about the marriage of Karen, your perfectly lovely ex-wife, and Henry Drucker.
Where'd you hear this?
I never reveal my sources, Mr. Patterson, but they're driving Mr. Drucker's Nash Healy out from Reno tomorrow. They'll be married aboard the Vagabond. Oh, it'll be terribly romantic, sailing off to the seven seas in search of happiness, nursing their newfound love under the Southern Cross.
Oh. At first, Eric thought it was all a lie, that perhaps he was the victim of a cruel prank. But he had to find out. And an hour later, he was standing on a fog-wet pier, looking at the sleek white outline of the Vagabond. And suddenly, as waves of nausea swept through him, he understood everything. Drucker had deliberately ruined him, and undoubtedly with Karen's knowledge. These last 6 weeks, Karen had been in Reno, divorcing him by default. Everything had been taken from him. His money, his wife, his pride, and he hated them for it. Eric stood there raging, his eyes fixed on the porthole he knew to be that of Drucker's own cabin. And suddenly he realized that he was going to kill Drucker. And a second later, he knew how he was going to kill him. He returned to his rooms and dialed the number of the Herald, asking for Oliver Fay.
Fay speaking.
Mr. Fay, this is Eric Patterson.
Oh, yes.
Look, I want to apologize for my rudeness earlier this evening.
Oh, that's all right, Mr. Patterson. People are often harsh.
Yes, well, I'm sorry. I would like to give you a statement now. It's simply that Henry Drucker and I are close friends, and, well, there's no ill feeling between any of us. You understand. I certainly wish them the best of everything.
Well, good. I'll print that, and I'll show it to them tomorrow night. And, you know, there's a pre-wedding party aboard the Vagabond.
Oh? What time are they sailing? I
might want to send them a wire.
Well, I have my little notes right here. Let me see now. Cocktails at 5:30, then dinner at about 8, and finally the sailing around 2 a.m., I think. You know, it's going to be such fun. I'm the only one of the literary crowd they've included.
Oliver Fay gushed on, but Eric wasn't listening now. He had all the information he needed. Henry Drucker was as good as dead right now. About 6:30 next evening, Eric stood in the shadows of the pier and watched the last of the guests arrive and board the Vagabond. Then he walked quickly across the open area directly to the porthole of Drucker's cabin. He was unobserved. The porthole was on a level with the pier, and Eric had to lie on his stomach in order to crawl through it. A moment later, he was safely inside. He closed the porthole and waited for his eyes to become accustomed to the darkness. Then he found the night table by Drucker's bunk and removed the hypodermic needle and insulin. Quickly, he filled the syringe with more than enough insulin to kill a man and placed it carefully on top of the table. Next, he found a towel and rolled it lengthwise. With it, he could choke Drucker into unconsciousness without leaving a mark. Now he was ready. An hour passed, then two, and a third, more slowly than ever. And for the first time, Eric grew nervous. Another hour and the towel in his hands was wet with perspiration. What had happened? Had Drucker, in the excitement of the evening, forgotten his injection? Panic began to rise in Eric, and he fought it back desperately. And then suddenly he heard a key in the door. He stood back and waited. The door opened, and Drucker, a black figure against the light of the corridor, entered the cabin. Eric waited until he blocked the door behind him. Then he moved. What? The towel went around Drucker's neck, and Eric twisted it with a frenzied strength. After a moment or two, Drucker ceased to struggle, and Eric finally released him. He might have been dead already, but to be sure and to make it look like suicide or an accident, he injected the overdose of insulin. Then it was over. Perfect. Eric sighed deeply with relief and satisfaction.
Mr. Drucker? Hey, Mr. Drucker? Oh, come now, I know you're in there. You promised me an interview, you know.
Terror-stricken, Eric moved to the portal. His hands trembled as he opened it and prepared to climb through. But something was wrong. The portal was open, but he couldn't get out. Blocking it 6 inches from his hands was a solid wall of pilings, great timbers side by side. The floor of the pier was now 2 feet above him. For a moment he was dazed. And then he knew. The tide was going out, and the ship had dropped a few feet with it. The tide had cut off Eric's only escape. He was hopelessly trapped. He sat down heavily, almost ready to cry.
I'm still here, Mr. Drucker, and I'll wait right here all night if necessary. Do you hear me?
Black Book stars Paul Frees as your teller of tales, assisted today by the noted Hollywood actor John Daner. The Vagabond Murder was written by Norman McDonnell and John Meston and directed by Mr. McDonnell. The special music is composed and conducted by Leith Stevens. Every Monday night, a top Hollywood star plays the leading role in a thrill-packed story on suspense on most of these same CBS radio stations. Clarence Cassell speaking. Remember, Broadway Playhouse brings you top stars and top stories Sunday nights on the CBS Radio Network.